This morning I'm going to do something a little out of characteristic. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning, just for a few moments. You know, you've heard what Jesus Christ has come to do. You've heard how people had responded in that time when the announcement was made that Jesus Christ was born, and that the people, even people came from far and wide to worship this child. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture for you as you have your eyes closed and your heads bowed, and I want to ask you a question before I read that piece of Scripture of, is God with you today? How close is He? You know, Joseph, Brother David preached last week out of Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to start in verse 22. It says, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angels had commanded. He married her, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus." Let me ask you a question. Did you have a plan for your life, or do you have a plan for your life? Every one of us here probably had a plan for his or her life. What we thought might happen. What direction we wanted to go. Did God interrupt that direction? I know He did in my life. He interrupted my life. And I'm so thankful that He did. You know, I was in church as a baby boy. I was born and raised in church, I like to say. But Joseph had a plan. See, the Bible says he was a righteous man. God declared that he was righteous. And he had a plan to put Mary away secretly. But see, when the angel spoke, and after he heard Mary's confession, he knew that his plan had to change if he was going to be obedient to God. If he was going to have God with him, then his plan had to change. Emmanuel, God with us. What about your life today? Is God with you? He is, because the Bible says He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But we leave Him. See, that's the problem. We walk away. We go our own way. And that's called sin. And believers can have sin in their lives just like anybody else can. But guys, let me tell you something. In our message today, in Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to talk about what Jesus has done for us. But let me ask you a question. If you was to ask yourself, how close is God to me? Are you doing exactly what God had called you to do? Could we do better? And I would have to submit, if I looked at my life, and I'm the only one can look at my life and honestly tell you, I could do better. What about you? Is God with you today? You know, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, He is with you. Even if you're not, He's with you. He's made an offer to you. An offer for you to accept His Savior as your Savior. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Or chapter 4, I mean. Hebrews chapter 4. What child is this? What did Jesus do for us? You know, as we think about the two books that I'm going to read from today, you'll find that both of them was written to the Jews. Matthew was written to Jews. And so was the book of Hebrews. And these Hebrew people that had confessed to know Christ, was having trouble following through with that confession. And whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, because I really don't know for sure, but whoever wrote the book of Hebrews knew their struggle. But he was trying to exalt Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what this cantata was all about, was trying to exalt Jesus Christ. And it had a message, probably better than one you're going to get in the second half of this sermon. I hope not, but it might have. It may have touched you more deeply because of the way it was presented, because we can present that message however we see fit. But one of those ways is through preaching. And some people say that's foolish, but the Bible says that's why, the way it should be. In chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we have come to you this morning through song and through worship, Father God, and as we have lifted up your name, the name of Jesus above every other name, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to call this one our Savior and our Lord, the King of Kings, a name above every name. And Lord, we just thank you that you have sent your Son to die on the cross. And Father, that He awaits to be born into each one of our lives. Father God, He awaits to bring people into His kingdom. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, if there's one here that doesn't know you today, or if there's one here that's not holding fast to the confession, as the book of Hebrews said, Father, I pray that they would grab a hold of that with all their heart, Father God, to know that you are King of their lives. And Father, nothing comes into their lives that you haven't helped them with, Father, and that you won't help them with. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just guide and direct this. I just pray that you would just help me to preach your word, Father, through your Holy Spirit. Father, I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest." You know, that one of the first things that Jesus is for us is our Savior. And we say that. But guys, He's so much more. He's so much more. You know, they had priests in the Old Testament. And the priest was the only one that was able to go in to usher in to the sacrifice to where it would be accepted by God to put the blood on the mercy seat. And Father, He was the only one allowed. You wasn't allowed there. And guys, as the writer of Hebrew writes this out, he says, look what he says. He has passed through the heavens. He passed through the sky, the heavens, the atmospheric heavens as we know it today. He passed through the starry skies where the moon and the sun and the stars exist. But he also went in to the third heaven, if Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians, into the very presence of God the Father. See, He didn't take our sins to the earthly tabernacle. He took it to the heavenly tabernacle. He took it into the very presence of God. And He calls Him our great high priest because He's the only one that could do that. We can go to Him directly. He's our great high priest because He brings us into the presence of God because He was God Himself. He's Emmanuel, God with us. But every one of us can decide how close we live to God and how much we allow of our lives to be affected by God. And so much of the time, at least in my early life, I decided what I was going to give to God and what I wasn't going to give to God. You know, and what I wanted to give to God is not exactly what He wanted. I probably told this here, but I'll tell you again that when I decided that I would follow Christ, I had it all mapped out. I was going to be a deacon at Morgan Baptist Church. I was going to teach Sunday school class, either the teens or the young adults, because I had done both. And I liked doing both. But once I immersed myself into God's Word and began to teach, see, He wanted more. But it's exactly what God wanted me to do. Just like Joseph had a plan. See, Bradley had a plan. Every one of us had a plan. But He can change that plan. But will you allow Him to? Will you allow Him to get more of your life? Because that's the only way that you're ever going to be fulfilled, is to give your whole heart and life to God. If you never give it all, then you'll never be fulfilled and you'll always be searching, I believe. If you don't believe He's your Savior, which I hope you truly do, but that the Son of God came to this earth and walked among men. He was the God-man. Think about that for a moment. But then when He ascended into heaven, the book of Hebrews calls Him our great high priest. And every one of us has to acknowledge who He is and where we're at with Him. Every one of us have to do that. That's the reason I believe in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. Guys, Paul was talking to a church. He truly was. Yet not everybody in that church knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm afraid it's the same at Hillcrest Baptist Church. And everyone that sits in these pews today, do you know if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? And I believe we have to examine ourselves not only for that, but how closely are we walking to Jesus? Our great high priest. He says in that passage of Scriptures that our great high priest is able to sympathize with our weakness because He has been tempted in every way possible, yet without sin. What is temptation? Have you ever thought about what temptation is? The enticement to do wrong that confronts us every day. You know, we face right and wrong answers every day. You know, I was thinking about all of our college people that's on break right now, and they've just finished finals and all this different things, and they have to face exams and all the different things that go along with it. And there's a right and a wrong answer. Guys, it's the same way it is with God. There's a right and there's a wrong answer. And if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we know that answer. I'm going to take you back to Joseph. The Bible said he was a righteous man, that he had a plan to put Mary away quietly. I mean, he wasn't going to make a big deal about her being pregnant. He was just going to divorce her. He was just going to do it quietly. Only her family would probably have to know what had truly happened. But she was going to be with child, so everybody was going to know. But he just didn't want to make a big scene. But when God showed up, when God sent His angels that day, see, He redirected his life. Now, let me say that I've never had angels visit me and tell me that I was supposed to preach God's Word. Although I've prayed for that to happen. If you're really sure, God, you want me to do this, you'll do something really supernatural. You know what He kept doing? He just kept telling me I could preach this certain message that I'd actually taught to my crusaders or royal ambassadors. He just kept telling me over and over. And I just kept telling Him over and over, I don't want to. I don't want to. What if Joseph would have been that way? Because we read that Joseph got up and done what the Lord instructed through the angel. He got up and took Mary for his wife. Guys, temptation is just wrong decisions. And Joseph, he made the right one. He done what God wanted him to do. And every one of us have to make that decision each and every day. Not only that, but the enticement to do wrong that confronts us every day, we have sexual temptations. Temptations to elevate ourselves over others. Temptations to steal or to cheat or to lash out in anger. How many of you have road rage? Isn't that what that is? You get annoyed with somebody else because they're either talking on their phone and doing something silly and in your way. Can that become sin? Something as simple as that. It's all by yourself in your car, but you're talking down to God's creation. Somebody that's very special to Jesus. Somebody that He died for. I'll never forget, me and my wife and my brother-in-law going to Silver Dollar City one time, and these people got in our way, and Brian is pretty an aggressive driver. And those people were aggressive as well. And they had that little fish thing on the back of their car. And we got flipped off. What the heck just happened? Don't we do that sometimes, though? Aren't we all guilty? I heard a guy say, well, I don't want one of them deals from Hillcrest on the back of my bumper because I don't want them to know where I go to church when I mess up. Dad darn, I never thought about that before I put mine on there. I mess up, especially when I'm driving. But guys, it's just a wrong decision that you know is wrong, but even before you get there. But the Bible says that we have a great high priest who is able to sympathize with everything, every temptation that you and I have been through. And he done it without sin. So is it wrong for me to have those thoughts when somebody gets in front of me? No, it's not wrong. But what you do with that, when you begin to verbalize it, when you begin to act out against it, then it becomes wrong in your driving. Because it can affect other people in negative ways. And you're putting yourself above that person. Whoa. It's that simple? Yeah. And Jesus felt that? Yeah. He said, when are you guys going to get it? When are you going to start knowing what I'm trying to tell you? You mean you don't understand? Think about Nicodemus. He says, you're a teacher in Israel? But he never sinned. He just began to teach from that point. Why can't we do that? Because we have the flesh inside of us. Did Jesus? Yeah, He did. He was the son of Mary, but just not Joseph. See, He had God inside. He was God. And He knew how God would react. But you know, it's not like us. When we succumb to our temptation, John MacArthur says this, when we succumb to the temptation goes away. Jesus never yielded to the temptation. So it was a whole lot stronger in His life than it was in ours. I heard it illustrated like this. How many of you have ever been shocked by an electric fence charger? I always tell the story, my dad hated to be shocked. And he'd work on lawnmowers. You know, and that's kind of like an electric fence charger, by the way. And he'd say, grab a hold of that. Well, you know, it takes a couple of times for me to understand. I was just a kid. For me to understand that I was going to get shocked at that point when he pulled that. And when he figured out that it had fire, he knew it wasn't that part of the motor. That was working correctly when Bradley went, woo! Whoa! Yeah, that was good. I hate getting shocked because of that. And after a couple of times, I got really wise and said, no. You touch it if you want to know whether it has fire or not. But Jesus, bearing the full weight of our sin, was like grabbing a hold of two power lines out here and never, ever succumbing to it. Never passing out. Our body, after a certain point, it will shut down. It's called shock. After a certain amount of pain, you don't feel anything anymore because you can't handle it and your brain says, that's enough, you're done. And you either pass out or something happens in your body that you can't feel pain. Guys, that never happened for Christ. Never happened. He took the full weight of our sin. Okay? Well, what about my physical pain in my body? He knows about it. Well, He don't have the same disease that I have. It don't matter. He knows the pain. He knows what pain is. The full revelation of pain was given to him on the cross and before the cross while he was being beaten. We have got to learn to go to Jesus when we are tempted. Every time. Every time. Just entertaining a thought a little too long and letting it turn to lust. Or an action that doesn't match what God would have you to do is sin. But guys, we can control that. If we allow it to come to Jesus, if we come to Christ, if we will be let God be the Emmanuel He wants to be and be God with us. He's with us every moment. We have to invite Him into the situations of life. Okay? We have got to invite Him. We have got to learn to go to Jesus when we are tempted. See, that's something I fail at every day. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this. Rejoice always. Man, that's hard for me to do. Isn't it for you? Pray constantly. See, I want to rejoice part of the time. Pray when I really, 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 really need help. Okay? Sometimes I pray in the car. A lot, actually. Because it's quiet there and nobody else has to hear but me and God. It says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, how can we give thanks in everything? How am I supposed to give thanks when I'm hurting so badly? You know, I look at the Psalms, and one of the things, I've got a friend who always says, well, I love the Psalms. Well, it's not always been true for me. I haven't always loved the Psalms. Now, I began to like them a little bit better as time has went on, because I realized that they're actually my thoughts or man's thoughts toward Christ sometimes. And sometimes I really thought they were like blaspheming God. But he was just going to God constantly in everything is what he was doing. Whoever was writing those things was going through some stuff, and he was just being honest with God of where he was at and saying, I don't understand this. And it's okay for you to say that, but God may answer you and say, my grace is sufficient for you, and not take away whatever you're going through in life. But he'll give you the strength to get through it. That's what he told Paul. He says, my grace is just sufficient for you. It says, don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Look at what the Bible says. I believe that's encouraging us to look at what the Bible has to say. But test all things. Doesn't the Bible tell us to do that? To test all things? You know, as we was talking in Sunday school class this morning, we need to test what I say to these students. It's up to them to make sure I'm telling them the right things. Now, I study. I try to show myself approved. But guys, sometimes we can say the wrong thing or say it in the wrong way, and it might mislead you. But make sure you study the Word of God. You need to be like the Bereans, as the Bible says, and study it out for yourself. Just because Pastor David, I would never intend to lead you astray. We're human beings. We're fallible, just like every other human being except for Jesus. So study to show yourself approved. Don't despise a prophecy, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the part I wanted to get to. He who calls you is faithful, who is also will do it. See, whatever he's called you to do, and he will make it possible. It may not turn out exactly the way you want it to turn out. You may have envisioned it a totally different way. But let God be God in your life. Let Him be Emmanuel. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life upon your invitation. Upon your invitation. Because we've all got these little closets that we like to lock up and not let God in them. Or maybe it's whole rooms. Maybe it's whole sections of your life. And that's the way it was with me at the beginning. I mean, there was whole rooms in my house that God wasn't able to come into. That I didn't want Him involved. Was I convicted? Yes. I was. But that didn't matter. Because God was not going to do anything that I didn't want Him to do. But when I look at the prophecies and all the different things that the Bible says, then I began to believe God and give more and more and more over into my life to Him. But there's something that we have to do. I keep saying it. We've got to come to the throne boldly. And the only way you can do that, the only way that you can do that, is to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way that you can come to the throne boldly. It says it there in Hebrews. The last verse it says, in verse 16, it says there that therefore let us approach the throne of grace. Why is it a throne of grace? Because He don't give you what you deserve. There's mercy and there's grace. And in grace, He gives you what you do not deserve. He gives you so much more. And I'm so thankful that it's a throne of grace. I'm so thankful that He gives me things and allows me to experience things that I have no merit in. There is nothing that I've done for Him to really bless me the way He's blessed me. My family. My life. The things that I have. Where I live. The things that I have in this life is His grace, because I do not deserve it. He gave me mercy upon the cross. He gives me grace as I live for Him. Each and every day, it's a day of grace. We've got to receive that. And the only way that we can receive it is be in His will. Okay? We can reject His will. But if He reveals to you what you're supposed to be doing, and you're supposed to go a certain direction, just be like Joseph. Get up. And do what God wants you to do. Did he have questions as how that was going to happen and who was going to make fun of him and how he ought to feel about all this? Sure he did. Do you know what he did? He took it one day at a time. And he trusted Jesus one day at a time. You know, we struggle with other people in our relationships, and maybe there's somebody in our lives that just annoys us too. And why do we have to deal with those people? Maybe so they can seek Jesus in you in a different way than they've ever saw it before. Okay? We have to receive His mercy. We have to find His grace. What do I mean by that? Guys, sometimes we have to look for it to be a blessing. We have to look for it. When I got burnt last year, I wasn't looking. I didn't think there was much grace involved in that. I didn't think there was anything good that could come out of that. But it opened doors for me to share Jesus with people that I probably wouldn't have ever been able to share with if that wouldn't have happened. People ask me questions. Well, if you believe in a God so powerful, and you're serving Him, and you're actually a pastor. I actually had this said to me. And you're a pastor, and you know you're doing what God wants you to do. If He's so powerful, why did He allow that to happen to you? And one of my students probably said it best. Because it was a stupid thing that I was doing. Okay? And it was pretty stupid. But I've done it several times. It didn't happen that way any other time. But let me tell you something. I found God's grace in that, in the fact that I was able to share, and that I was able to share Jesus with that guy who is a proclaimed atheist because of that. He asked me questions. And he said, "You still believe in an all-powerful God?" Absolutely. But he never oversteps free will. He never oversteps what you have. See, he's with me through that. He was with me all the way through. Somebody said, "Well, you ain't got very much scarring." Well, no. And that's a God thing. That's just a God thing. Does he know the pain that I went through? I think so. Man, Jesus knows more pain than I could even fathom. We got to find grace to help us in the proper time. See, he ain't going to give it to you before. He ain't going to give you the words before. He ain't going to tell you how you're going to witness to somebody, even though we have plans and all kinds of ways that we try to share Jesus with people, or share Jesus without fear. There's "Can We Talk?" There's Ray Comfort said, "The Way of the Master." There's all kinds of ways. But I'll just tell you, if you're not willing to deviate from that plan, your conversation will probably end a lot quicker than it would have if you would allow Jesus to direct your steps with that person. Okay? All of those things are good, because what do? They train us to share our faith, which is the very commandment God gave each one of you and I. Now, it's just not for the pastors. It's not just for the church leaders. Every Christian is supposed to go and make disciples. Whether it's here or across the ocean, we're supposed to be about God's business and showing the love of Jesus to people. And I guarantee you that's in His plan for you. Okay? There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And this church is a wonderful church to be a part of because it believes in the Great Commission. It goes far and wide and right here at home to share Jesus with people. But each one of us could probably do just a little bit better. I want to go back up to the very top of Hebrews chapter 4. This is my last statement, I promise. Okay? It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession that we made." Are you holding fast today? As Kathy comes and as Keith comes, are you holding fast today? We may be going through some terrible times in our lives. But you know what? Emmanuel, He's with us. He is with us. Where is He at with you? Is He standing side by side? Have you left Him behind? Have you ran ahead? Yeah, I don't know. I can only answer that question in my book. Okay? I can only answer that question in my book. If you've got something on your heart you need to come and pray, I encourage you to do that. Don't leave this place with something on your heart. Okay? Just get it right with God today. He says, "Now is the day of salvation."